today we're going to talk about praying and fasting. We mentioned this last couple of weeks. We're going to get into fasting. You're already getting nervous because you know what fasting is, or you're just simply oblivious because you have no clue what it means to fast. Maybe you've heard of prayer. It simply means to talk to God and hopefully let Him talk back to you, where we have this conversation and God wants to bring us into continuous communication and conversation with Him. And out of that, it will radically transform our lives. But today we're going to talk about prayer and fasting. And let me tell you, when you add these two together, get ready for something incredible to happen and for just ground to shake, mountains to move, and heaven to come to earth. Come on, we're going to pray the Holy Spirit would move through us today as we get to the Word. Lord, I just thank You for all that You're going to do. And I pray, Lord, You bless us, help us, equip us, and Holy Spirit, let us never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to do praying, and we're starting on Monday. It's prayer and fasting. We're going into prayer. We're going to have a list of things we're praying for. I'll give you some today. We'll give you more of this next few weeks. If you're not signed up, get signed up and become part of it. Like, what's the worst can happen? Get you praying more. If you don't like it, just don't do it. We won't even check up on you. But we want to encourage you to go with commitment and say, I'm going to pray because I want to be about more than myself. I want to be about more than my family or just the immediate needs of my life. I want to reach out and be a blessing in this city, this nation, this community, this country, and see the Spirit move. That's the heart of a Christian. So we're going to pray, and it's to connect up with our house of prayer that's about to start. And then we're going to fast for 7 days. And you're going, maybe if you know fasting, then you already know what I'm going to talk about. But if you don't, you're going, well, is that really cool thing that all the people at gyms do now? You know, it helps you to lose weight. Or is it just a fancy way of saying diet? And I'm going to say, look, all of those things the world has discovered as benefit of fasting, but it's not the first benefit. It's not the main reason why you fast. If you're fasting just to lose weight, then you've missed the point. If you're fasting because it's a good gym technique, you've missed the point. But if you're fasting to give up food for a season or for a time to go after spiritual things and to seek God's face, then you've hit on the money. You have hit on the money. And what I want to encourage you with is it's not just giving up, it's feasting upon. It's not just getting away from or not having, it's eating something else instead. It's feasting. It's going to His presence. It's like all the time I wasted cooking and eating. And I say wasted because we do a lot of that. Cooking, cleaning, preparing, getting all ready for food, eating it. All of that takes a lot of time. And God said, would you for a season, for a moment, sacrifice the physical things to the body to go for the spiritual things that will satisfy both the spiritual and the physical? That's how good God is. You see, fasting's been one of these things that's been around from time began, all the way through the Old Testament. When God needed to move, and when people needed God to move, there was something about fasting and praying that just allowed the Spirit of God to move in ways that it was hard to move otherwise. There's something about fasting and praying that just allows heaven to come, that just allows our hearts to be ready for a move of God. It just does something to us. It does something to the world around us. It does something in preparation for God's power to come. We see it all the way through the New Testament. The early church, in fact, used to pray at least 2 times a week because they were so committed to just seeking after the things of God, going after the things of the Spirit, and they saw fasting as crucial. And hopefully in a few minutes, we're going to see it as crucial as well. But maybe for some reason of this last year or so, or last 100 years or so, we've got less concern with fasting. Probably as the goodness of food has went up, we've become less concerned with biblical fasting, which is always about food. But I want to call us back to today. You see, fasting is God's idea, and God's got a plan for Christians, and it includes fasting on a regular basis. In fact, Matthew chapter 6 says this. In verse 2, it says, so when you give, these are expectations of a Christian, is what Christians do. You know, if you're a footballer, you have to kind of kick a ball or save a ball or do something with a football, play with a team. You know, there are certain expectations if you're going to be a footballer. There are certain expectations if you're going to be a Christian. Wouldn't make sense if you didn't give. Chapter 6, verse 2 says, so when you give, expectation you're going to give. Verse 5, it says, and when you pray, there's just this automatic expectation you're going to pray, you're going to give, all perfectly normal. But then verse 16 says, and when you fast. I mean, Jesus has it right there. It's so crucial. It's so important. And yet sometimes we forget it. And I think sometimes it's a plan of the enemy. And maybe it's a plan of self because we love our food. We love what it gives us. Comfort food, comfort eating. It gives us peace. It gives us this. It gives us that. But God's saying, sometimes I need you to hit that away that might break something inside of you. And I don't mean that would break ourselves in an unhealthy way. I mean in a godly way that would allow God to come and satisfy in a way that nothing else can. He comes and fills the gaps. He comes and does something that no one else or nothing else can. So fasting is intentionally abstaining for food for a season. Not fluids, because we got to drink. Come on. You can do without some food, but you cannot do without drinking. We got to do that for survival. But it's for spiritual purposes. It's for something in the spirit. And so I wrote down just a few things of what fasting does. I'll just shoot them out like a machine gun. It brings victory. It's God moves in power. He just seems to move in power in ways that he can't before. I heard this one and I love it. I'm going to give it to you. It's a hunger strike against hell. It's literally saying, hell, you're done. I'm feasting on the things of God only. It just rocks hell to the core. It breaks the yoke of bondage. It helps us to see vertical solutions to horizontal problems. You know, like all I see is problem, problem, problem. And then I get the vertical. And suddenly I'm like, okay, here's the victory. Here's the way through. Fasting releases God's supernatural power. It gives us divine wisdom. It humbles our hearts. It realigns your purposes. It gives us favor, blessing, answers. I mean, we can go on and on and on. It just does something extra. It just brings something. It just allows God to move in ways in our lives and through us that he doesn't seem to be able to do otherwise. It's like a way that he sets it up. In the same way as you give, you bless the nations. In the same way as you pray, you bless the nations. In the same way as you fast, you bless the nations. There's something about when we use the tools that God has given us, we will see the hand of God moving through our lives and something significant will take place. In fact, there's a story we're going to go to for just a moment. Mark chapter 9, verse 29. Maybe a famous story for you if you've heard it before. If not, let me bring it to you. But it's a demon-possessed boy who comes to the disciples, not the boy, but his dad. And he says, hey, you got to help my son. He's taking fits. He's falling into fires. It's just like there's just something crazy going on. It's demonic. And the disciples pray and they can't do anything. And the dad's distraught and he says, okay, if I could just get to Jesus, something would happen. And something does. And Jesus turns around and he heals him and sets him completely free in a moment. Verse 29 says this of Matthew chapter 9. Says, Jesus spoke and he says, this kind of problem can come out only by nothing but prayer and fasting. For the problem that we're facing right now, Jesus is saying, the only answer is prayer and fasting. Maybe you're facing a problem right now in your life. As a church, we're facing a problem, which is Project Possible. We cannot get our planning permission. We cannot get the finances that we need for it. So we know that we've prayed. We know that we've given. We know that we're doing the things that God's calling us to, but maybe we need to step it into fasting and praying, because this kind come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. It's an unmovable problem. To get that thing moved, we're going to go to fasting and praying. That's what Jesus was saying. See Esther, we see that? She goes before the king, even at the risk of her own life. And before she goes, she says, fast and pray for me. She calls a fast for 3 days. Nehemiah, he fasts and prays for 4 months. We looked at this last week. Nehemiah speaks so much to us for our building project next door, because Nehemiah looked from 800 miles away, from miles and miles and miles away. It wasn't his problem. He was a cupbearer to a king. He had a perfectly fine job, but something moved in his heart. And for 4 months, he fasted and prayed and cried out before the Lord before he moved. And you know the story, 52 days he built the wall and he even got the king to pay for it. You see, we've got a building outside that we need to see rebuilt because we believe it's strategically connected to the heart of the city, and the heart of the city is the people. And as we restore the walls, we restore the hearts of the people, and suddenly we're going to see revival spread right through the ecclesiastical capital of Ireland, which is Armagh. That's the church capital of Ireland, even to this day, is Armagh. It's been that for thousands of years. And we say, why not with us, Lord? Because God's looking to move. He's just looking for some people that would get humble, that would begin to pray. 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, then I would hear their prayer from heaven and I would heal their land. Paraphrase version. But this is what God is calling us to. Nehemiah had it in his day, and we see it all the way through to the New Testament as the early church would pray and fast faithfully. So types of fast. Maybe you're saying, well, look, I'm ready to fast, but what do you even mean by fasting? Well, here's what I'm going to say. I know we can fast lots of different things, and if social media is opening your time and movies or Netflix and all that's taking your time, then so be it, fast that stuff. But I would love us to go to a biblical fast. And I'm not saying that those things are necessarily wrong, but the only thing that we see in the Bible is food. There's something about food that I believe we need to get right into. And I'd say parallel it with those other things that they're eating your time as well. But why not bring in the food when God clearly states it? All the way through, for thousands of years, it was always about food. It was always about food. It was always about food. Maybe for you in the 7 days, you're going to go after a full fast. Can I just say a full fast is water only? Like, that's not milkshakes, that's not fruit drinks, that's just water only. That is pretty much impossible, even if you've got a lot of faith, if you've never done it before. The shell shock that you will hit your body with, I've never ventured into it. I've done a lot of Daniel fasts, which we're going to look at in just a moment what that is. I've never ventured into this liquid fast for too long, more than a day or so, and I know it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It's hard to get your body to that point. It's possible, but you've got to be very, very wise about it. So I really want to encourage you. You may be youthful and zealful, and I'm all for that, but I'm telling you, I've seen people do it before, and all that happens is failure, demoralized, and you give up early. Go for something maybe a tiny bit less extreme that you can go for, and it will allow you to pray. Can I say this when we're fasting? If you spend all the time thinking about what you can't eat and the meals you're going to make and the preparation and going to the shop to get that stuff, you might as well just eat and pray to God. Come on, we got to do it in such a way that we're making a sacrifice, but the sacrifice we can actually count. If it's too much for us, if it's too hard for us, make an adjustment quickly and go to with what works that allows you to get off the focus of food and preparation and all of that stuff onto the business of Jesus and seeking in his face. So full fast, unless you're a seasoned vet at this thing, I'm not encouraging you to go full fast. Maybe it's a partial fast, which we've done many times. Daniel fast, maybe it's no meats, no sweet, which you see in Daniel's, which is just basically fruit and veg, which again is very, very hard, very difficult to do. I challenge you on that. It means no meats, no sweets, which basically robs you of all the nice things in your diet. No dairy products, nothing like that. You got to rob yourself of all those things. Difficult. But if you've never done it before, worth a try. See what God can do through your heart. Or maybe it's just simply a partial fast, limited fast, where you decide, I'm not going to do food one day at lunch, I'm not going to do food one day in the evening, I'm going to do two meals one day, all three one day, whatever it might be. But remember, the point of the fast is not as much about what you're sacrificing, it's what you're sacrificing to get. What are you sacrificing to get? More time with Jesus, more time with him. And let me tell you, this is a supernatural thing. So there will be physical effects, sore heads, don't be put off by that. You're just coming off the sugar, depends on what you're coming off on, but it is worth it, and supernaturally the Lord's going to provide, and things are going to come through. I want you to go for it by faith, but remember, the heart is to seek God. It's not necessarily for all these breakthroughs. They will come, but it's to seek God. You want him more than anything. I just want to underline that, reinforce that. See, the focus of fasting is more of God's presence. I'm giving up eating to spend time with God. It's not necessarily for breakthrough. It's not necessarily for heaven to come. It's more I want him. And anytime I'm hungry, I'll just put the reminder alarm in here. Use it as a reminder to say, okay, I need to seek Jesus. Anytime I get an urge for food or ice cream or a donut, these are all the things I get an urge for during the fast. It means alarm clock, go seek his face, go pray, and watch how you're going to be rewarded for that. I'm not saying it's always going to be easy, but you're going to be rewarded for that, and God's going to bless you. So what are we praying for? Wouldn't this be good to know? What are we praying for? Well, I just want to pray for revival in Armagh, revival in our city. The revival would hit Armagh and across the nation, it would spread. Why not us, Lord? This is our heart's cry, that we would have a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We want to see the Spirit move. We need to see the Holy Spirit move. We need him to move in might and power and see mighty signs, wonders, and miracles take place. And on that, we want to see healings, breakthroughs, signs, and wonders. We want to see that in Jesus' name. We want to see Project Possible. We need momentum in Project Possible. We want God's hand to continue to be upon it. We want to see some of the barriers moved. We're praying specifically for three things: plan and permission to come through quickly, finance to be supernaturally supplied, and that we would see compassion rise in our hearts for the people of Armagh. Because as we're going to look at in a few minutes' time, every time Jesus moved, it was because he was moved by compassion, and as an end result, people's lives were radically transformed. I want us to lay a foundation for our house of prayer that's coming up, about to begin: healing, signs and wonders, salvations, baptisms, and for people to become part of our life groups and get plugged in and serve in the heart of this church. We're praying for many things. That's just some of the core things. And as we pray and fast, God is going to move. Amen. Come on, right now, wherever you are, you begin to say, amen, hallelujah. God is going to move. Whatever you've done before, this is different now. Whatever you believed before, this is different now. You're adding prayer and fasting. It's that super weapon to a move of God. Can I give you some numbers just to encourage your heart? So far, we've had over 40 people sign up to the date of this recording. I believe by the time we do this, this recording goes out, it could be more. But so far, and if you're not signed up yet and you're hearing this, get signed up, vibeandi.com. Get on there, scroll down a tiny bit. You're going to see the link for join the house of prayer and get on there and get doing it. Get signed up. We want you to be a part of that. So please, please, please. But so far, we've had over 40 people signed up. I worked it out, the slots that have been covered. So far, that's been 93 slots of 15 minutes. That equates to 1,400 minutes a week, which is 23 hours per week. And let me just say, that's per week. That comes out at over 1,200 hours a year, which we're going into, which we've never done before. Come on, church. Come on, people of Vibe. This is significant. God is going to do something. We've never prayed this faithfully before, not in this numbers, not consistently like this, not with passion, not faithfully over and over, day after day, morning, afternoon, and evening. So I'm telling you, get ready for God to do something spectacular. It's going to be absolutely amazing. So for these last few minutes, let me share my heart and what I believe that God's speaking directly into our hearts and for this season and for this moment. What's the key that we're going to need for this next season? What's the key that we're going to need that will unlock the doors of this next season? Can I suggest and tell you I believe what God's saying and what he's been screaming from his word for years, or maybe not screaming but shouting, but what he's been trying to get our attention with for generations is compassion. If we can get compassion, if we can add that key to our heart, everything changes. I tell you, when compassion starts to take root in your life, it changes your life. It eradicates selfishness, or at least wipes it down to the lowest level. It brings humility to the fore. It brings self and selfish desires and selfish dreams and ambitions. It throws them out the window, and suddenly we become about others. I was listening to a podcast just this last week or so, and it said that there's a church in Canada, and their mission statement is one word, other. I was like, what? That's the heart of compassion, when our hearts are moved for everybody else. I looked up the definition of compassion, and a very simple term, a very simple definition is to suffer with. That's the heart of Jesus, to suffer with. He didn't come to look at us, but he came to suffer with us and actually to suffer on our behalf. In fact, compassion looks like this. It's when somebody else's problem becomes your problem. I tell you, we know that we're on the path to revival when the problems of the city become our problems. And suddenly they're not like, well, we're praying for you. It's like, no, no, we're praying. It's my problem now. I'm praying for that like it's my own. I've taken it on like it's my burden. This is the heart of the King. This is the heart of Jesus. What Jesus do. He took on the sins of the world. He took our deepest need and he took them on ourselves, and then he obliterated it with love. And we get the free choice and the free gift of salvation. What an incredible Savior. If we're to look like Christ and we're to move forward in this next days and the next few months and the next few years, and we're to get ready for Project Possible and all that God's going to call us to, I believe compassion's going to be the key. When their problems become our problems, when our life starts to look different because of the compassion that God's going through, moving through our lives. And when we face the problems and the matters of everybody else, and we say, they move me and they change my life. You see, there's something about compassion that always moves the heart of God. You see it in Jesus all the time. I want to give you a couple of the stories. Feeding the 5,000, again, a story that we share so much. Matthew 14:14. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, it says he had compassion on them and he healed the sick. Notice how he had compassion on them. He saw their suffering. He suffered with them and began to heal the sick. Shortly after that, he was like, the disciples go, we got to send them away because we've got no food for them. But it says, no, we can't send them away. I love them. I've got compassion for them. So we're going to get some food and we're going to divide the food, not divide them. And we're going to bless them. We're going to feed their stomach. We're going to feed their souls. We're going to feed their hearts because God says, I've got compassion. There's something about compassion that leads us to miracles. There's something about compassion that leads us to the heart of God. And as the church, we need God's supernatural compassion. I want to read a story to you from Matthew chapter 20, verse 30, all the way down to 34. And it's Jesus, when some beggars meet him, when some people come to meet him. And I tell you, we're going to get out in the city and we're going to start to find ourselves as the Tesco up the street, in our cars, in the bus stop. And people's just going to start talking to us because they're seeing something on us. Or even if they, forget that actually, they maybe not even see anything on us because they don't know what to look for. But they're so desperate. They just see someone who looks sort of half open to discussion, and they're going to start to pour out their heart to you. And I tell you what, we want to have something to pour in. Amen. And we do. We've got the love of Christ, but we've got to have skill and ability and a heart to do that. And it begins with compassion. Verse 30 of chapter 20, it says, two blind men were sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was going by them, they shouted. You see, whenever you need a miracle and when you start to get desperate, you begin to shout. This is where I get concerned when church gets too quiet, too sleepy, and too sincere. And I mean sincere in the sense of too quiet. Because whenever you get desperate for the things of God or excited for the things of God or simply God moves in your life, you begin to shout because you get excited. It says, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Wow, they're stepping it up. They're trying to get his attention. And they ask for mercy. Sounds a lot like compassion. Please don't forget about us. Lord, please don't miss us. Please don't pass us by. Don't be like those people that walk past homeless people all the time and miss them. Speaking to myself. Come on, don't be like that person who just walks past that same person every day and you can tell there's something going on with them. Let's be the people that stop. Let's be the people that get in there, not for nosiness sake, not because of gossip, because of compassion. It says, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them. Remember, people don't like this. Well, take care of yourself. Who are you to think that you could ask for help? The crowd are always going to fight against, but be bold. And told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder because they had an issue and they wanted this issue dealt with. Come on, if you want an issue dealt with, you're not going to let it go. Said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. They repeat the same statement. Help, help, help. Jesus stopped and called to them. And he said, what do you want me to do for you? Don't you love Jesus? And this is something we got to learn. Too often as Christians, we're always telling people what they need. Jesus said, what do you want? He knew exactly what these guys needed, but he said, I know the way this thing works. I've got to ask you the question and you've got to tell me the answer. Church, could we start to have a bit more compassion? And even though it seems obvious to you what's going on with that person, to show dignity and respect and love and to let it be on their side, we've got to ask the question, how can I help? What can I do for you? And then be ready for response and then move with love, move with grace, and move with supernatural power. They said, Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Of course they did. They want to be able to see. And can I tell you, there's a world out there that wants to be able to see. They may not be blinded physically, but they are blinded spiritually. And as a result, they cannot see correctly physically because they're looking in all the wrong places for all the wrong things, for all the right answers. For all the right problems. They're just not going to get the right answer. Only Jesus gives the right answer. Jesus had compassion on them. Notice the word. And he touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. Wow, what a Savior we have. What a Jesus we have. But I want to tell you, are there people crying out to us? Are there people around us that are crying out and saying, hey, would you help me? Would you save me? Would you show me some love? Could you be there to make a difference in my life? And rather than us tell them, blah, 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 we would just listen for a moment and say, hey, well, how can I help you? Maybe it's just listen. Maybe it's ask the question, how can I help you? And then once we hear, we get the opportunity, we get the right to speak, we get the right to move. And we're moved with compassion when we hear their problem and we begin to pray. Compassion unlocks this whole thing. Compassion is what stopped Jesus and compassion is what moved his power and what moved the hand of God. See, Esther turned around with this crazy statement. If you never read the book of Esther, you won't find God anywhere. And yet he's all over the whole thing. And she turns around and she says to the disciple or to her uncle Mordecai, she says, okay, call the people to pray and fast. Reference that you're going to pray and fast to God. But she says, I'm going to go before the king. And this is what she says. And this is the heart of compassion. And this is when we know we're either close or far away. She says, I know when I go before the king and ask for an audience before the king, it's not like modern day kings or queens. Nothing bad is really going to happen. You just may never get the interview or never get the appointment. But for her, she knew, even though she was a wife of the king, for her to go at a time when she was not summoned by the king was risking life and death. But she turns around and she says, but if I die, I die. because the problem that my people are facing is greater than my life. See, here's true compassion. When other people's problems become bigger than your problems, in other words, their lives become more important than your life. Wow. Wow, let that resonate just for a moment. And this is tough for all of us. I'm not even pretending that it isn't. When someone else's problems becomes bigger than your problems means that you're beginning to die to self to live for somebody else's benefit. And you're starting to look like Christ. Esther was moved to put her life below everybody else. This is incredible. So this week when we fast, I'm telling you, maybe you're fasting to see breakthrough, but maybe you're just fasting because your faith is lazy right now. Your faith is non-existent right now. Maybe you're fasting this week because your heart for God is just not even there. You don't even care about other people if you're being real and honest. And you're just fasting because I need something to break in my life. But as you fast, let me stretch your heart and say this. We're going to pray in just a moment. You're not just fasting for yourself. You're fasting. And as you fast and the Lord breaks you, watch how in return, He's going to pour in His love into your broken heart and into your broken ways. And suddenly you're going to see, wow, it's not about me. And I actually care for other people. And you know what? Get ready. You might want to join the kids team. You might want to come and do more outreach. You might actually want to pray. You might actually want to read. You might actually start to get this real heart for God. Because whenever He begins to break you and fill you, you start to move in the ways that God's called you. I want to finish with two more verses and then we're out of here. Colossians 3:12, it says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, this is who we are as Christians, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Notice compassion again. We've got to put it on. You're not going to have a feeling one day of like, I just want to put myself down so everybody else can be better than me. That would be a very peculiar feeling. If you're in that mode, then you're probably Jesus or something. No, what's going to happen is it's like, oh, I don't really want to talk. Oh, I'm not really feeling like I want to help anybody. Oh, I don't know if I really want to do this thing. I'd rather just chill. I'd rather just do something else. But something begins to move in your heart because you've intentionally put on the heart of God. You've intentionally decided, no, my faith is not just a feely faith. My faith is a faith that has actions and words and motives, and it actually moves and does something. Compassion is love that moves. And I tell you, God's going to do something over this week as we fast and pray that's going to move our hearts in ways I've never done before. And maybe just like what we got to do sometimes, we're not feeling like it, but we go to work anyway because we need the money. Or we're not feeling like it, but we meet up with that person because we know they need us. We start to get past our initial feelings and we start to realize, wow, it's bigger than just me. And as we do, it blesses us in return. I have absolutely no doubt. But faith in action is when we're going to see compassion. And that's when we're going to know it's moving through our lives. Last verse, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just in Christ God forgive you. Come on, this is the heart of the Father. It is not easy to do this stuff. You don't want to do it in your own strength. You definitely do not want to do it in your own nature. But as we plug into the things of God, you're going to find yourself, even if your head sometimes going to say no, your heart's saying, I want to. Your body's going, I want to. I want to be there. And when you push through that initial awkwardness or hardness or tiredness or feeling or whatever it would be, you're going to go on the other side, wow, this was so much better than I realized. Because sometimes I don't want to say it, but our feelings lie to us. Our own heart lies to us. It's deceitfully wicked sometimes. We got to trust what God's saying. And as we fast and pray, something breaks inside of us. And as we seek God in ways that we've never done, and I believe in this next week, something crazy is going to happen for all of us. Because I've been chatting to some people. And let me tell you guys, people are saying the same thing. More hearts are waking up to Project Possible. More hearts are waking up to the things of God. More hearts are getting aligned with the plans and purposes of God at this time, at this moment, in this city, than I've ever seen before in our church. It's not just in a few now, it's in a few more. And I believe it's going to go to more and more and more. And before you know it, we're stepping into revival. But how is revival going to work unless we get a heart for other people greater than a heart for our own selfishness? How is it going to work if we don't get a heart that says, I want to lay myself down so I can see other people come through? I want a heart of compassion that says, I'm going to suffer with you. And if I can, I'll take your suffering for you. That's what Jesus did. Come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. And I thank you, Lord, that in all things you're strengthening us and you're helping us. I pray, Holy Spirit, just moving over our hearts today. And I just want to pray for conviction for those that says, I wasn't even thinking of praying. I wasn't even thinking about fasting. Come on, go for it in Jesus' name. I encourage you and almost push you forward into that because it's so good. But I pray, Lord, for anyone that's not a new creation in Christ, never put their trust in Jesus. Come on. I just say, why don't you trust God? Come on. I don't know if you can trust yourself and I don't know if you can trust anybody. anybody else, but you can trust Jesus. He died in your place. He took your sin. He's deleted it on the cross, and he's given you the opportunity of a brand new start and a brand new heart with God. I pray right now that you would say yes to Jesus and invite him into your life. Lord, I just thank you for the wonderful opportunity that we get to pray and be with you. And I pray that supernaturally you will sustain us this week, help us this week, and we're going to see wonderful things happen. But more than anything, Lord, we're not going to be looking for your hands. We're going to be looking for your face, and we're going to seek you with our whole heart. And if we do that, we're going to find you, and our lives are never going to be the same again. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.